Welcome to another episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm Bro Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer. With me today, back in the co-host seat, Sydney Franklin.
Hi, Bro.
Hi, Sydney. You've been busy.
I've been busy. There's lots of news in real estate.
There's lots of cranes and lots of construction.
Lots of traffic.
Lots of traffic. Less parking downtown.
Yeah, even for us here at the Enquirer.
I know.
And tailgaters.
The struggle is real.
It is.
We have, speaking of development and new things happening, we have with us as our special guest, Rosemarie Mooring, who is the Vice President of Marketing for MEMI. You know it as the Music and Events Management Incorporated. And we'll talk to her about what happened this week, and that is the debut of the construction site for the Farmer Music Center.
Right, Riverbend 2.0. So next year, the Farmer Music Center will officially replace Riverbend, a longstanding Riverbend, as the official place for outdoor concerts.
42 years of Riverbend.
Yeah.
And now the Farmer Music Center. So that'll be exciting. So you actually went out and got a tour of the construction site.
Right. It was very, very rainy, but still a great day. We went on the construction site and literally stood on the stage and looked out at the, you know, non-existent crowd. They've built like half of the bowl, if you will. So the actual amphitheater will be three levels. It will still have a synthetic lawn, and there'll be 8,000 reserved seats underneath the pavilion. So it will still be covered for folks who want to sit.
So more covered reserved seats.
Right. Club spaces.
Yeah. Total seating capacity, 20,000.
Right.
$160 million project.
Yes.
Which you've reported on a little bit. The city was asked to contribute because why not? That's what big developers do, because projects like this stand to be a good investment for the city in terms of tax revenue and everything like that. And that hasn't been a slam dunk because the city has its own financial shortfall that it's dealing with. But yeah, if I recall the numbers right, they asked for $8
million. Right. The MEMI asked for $8 million for this project. The mayor
of $160 million,
right.
Yeah, which they've raised a significant amount.
Yeah, we've reported their, yes, they've raised like over 76%, which is very typical for construction to start with just that amount of money already in place. The mayor says he's considering $2 million. This is not official yet. So we'll know in the coming weeks whether or not the city will allocate some money in the next year's budget for this development.
All right. Speaking of the city, you reported this week on yet another, this time we mean it, effort to cap Fort Washington Way.
Yes.
Give us the details.
Well, we shall see.
You've been here 4 years now. In fact, we celebrated your work anniversary today, right?
No, last staff meeting.
Last staff
meeting. In April.
Yeah. Okay,
in April.
Yes.
But yes.
And you're probably getting tired. I mean, imagine us lifers, somewhat lifers. I mean, I was gone for a while. But I've been here around a long time, and we've been hearing about capping Fort Washington Way for a long time. This isn't the first time it's come up on your beat, but what's different this time, if anything?
Okay, so as I report, the city and the county, they have been applying 4 years in a row for federal funding to get this done. And as you can imagine, putting caps or decks over Fort Washington Way, which is a sunken highway between downtown and the banks, would cost millions and millions of dollars. It would be logistically complicated, but the reason they want to do it is to basically remove the barrier that is the highway from downtown to the banks. So the most recent application to the USDOT was for $25 million. I'm sure it's extremely competitive, but we'll find out this summer if we get the funds. And if we do, then we also have to come up with $25 million locally to actually get the grant. And that would pay for basically a cap between Vine and Walnut Streets, and then the design of the rest of the caps, which would be basically just past Race and almost to Main Street.
Which was sort of the intention when the connector, which, by the way, it throws people because all the locals call it Fort Washington Way. If you're driving, there's no signs that say Fort Washington Way.
That's so true.
If I told you, hey, Sydney, just jump on Fort Washington Way, and you were looking for a sign that said that, kind of like Cross County Highway, it's the Reagan, you know, or it's the whatever the U.S. route number is. But it was kind of innovated when it was constructed because, for those unfamiliar, when you are coming off 75 or 71-75, because they're united as they cross the river, and you want to get over to 71 or you want to get on 50 heading east, without the trench, it would have been either a surface highway connector cutting downtown in half, or elevated, you know, roads that are ugly
and not good.
So the idea was, let's dig the trench so that we can keep downtown intact. But I don't know, 2-3 decades later, it's still a trench, and now we're still talking about capping it so you can develop over it, you can have a park, you can kind of connect the Riverfront Banks area to downtown proper.
Right. It's not the safest environment for pedestrians to cross.
Right.
And so if there was more space to cross, then great. And again, the idea is eventually to maybe put buildings on these caps. Mm-hmm. So
we shall see.
We'll see.
All right.
If we don't get the money this year, I'm sure they'll apply next year.
They'll try next year.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's get the latest on the Farmer Music Center from our good friend, Rosemarie Mooring. It is special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. As promised, we have Rosemarie Mooring, the Vice President of Marketing for Music Events Management, Inc., a.k.a. MEMI. And you've been busy this week.
I've been very busy this week.
The debut of what's rising from the ground out there on the east side.
Right off of the 275 bridge, yes.
Yes, the Farmer Music Center.
The Farmer Music Center, the new crown jewel in Cincinnati's crown.
Like
the Queen City's crown.
I like it. So, Sydney, you were there. You took the tour. What did you think?
I was there. We got to drive on the blacktop by Riverbend in between the concessions just to get to the construction site, which was so cool. Thank you for that opportunity.
A lot of people said that, and I guess you don't realize it, that like you walk on it. I
was there, and you had like about 100 people guiding the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like driving where I'm normally like standing in line for concessions or whatever, right outside the,
No, I was geeking out for sure. But yeah, going on the construction site was so crazy.
I think it put into perspective for a lot of people too, just the grand scheme of it and just how it's a vertical design, which we keep saying, which people are like, what's the big deal? If you've been to Riverbend, it's really spread out. It's more of horizontal, where this is going to be vertical. All the concession stands and everything will be undercover. So you don't have to worry about weather anymore. You're always just feet away from all the music, so you don't have to miss much of the show anymore. So we're really excited about it.
Right.
I was telling somebody, it's like an actual structure. When you have gone to Riverbend, it's like a typical outdoor pavilion style entertainment venue.
Yes.
There's not a lot of building to it. You know, you have the shelter, you have obviously there's part, you know, there's a structure, but this is coming out of the ground. Like, you know, I was surprised how big it looked.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And I think what people don't expect either is it's so much higher up because it's out of the floodplain now. We did learn something after 42 years.
Raise your hand if you've been flooded out of a Riverbend show.
I actually have.
So we don't have to worry about that anymore.
We have great archive photos of people like in canoes and kayaks.
Wow.
Around the stage when the river floods in a significant
way.
Guess
that won't be happening anymore.
It's
not a drop of water will hit those seats. And if it does, we have bigger problems than canceling a concert.
Right.
We're going to need an ock.
For listeners, for context, if you drive by, what you'll see is like almost like a stadium bowl of concrete, like pillars, if you will, rising out of the dirt. Literally.
Yes.
But they do have the stage structure up already. And
yes.
We got to stand on it and
yes.
look out at the, you know, no crowd.
No, exactly.
Did you imagine the crowd? Were you pretending that you were on stage?
Sort of. It's hard to picture that.
Hello, Cincinnati.
No, and that stage is, it's a lot larger than what Riverbend stage is too. So we could do any act that came through town, regardless of how big their production is. So that actually makes us stand out a lot too from other amphitheaters in the country.
So talk about that a little bit. What is your hopes in terms of what types of acts will come once the new facility opens?
So our mentality is we want to make Cincinnati a must-play city. So right now, you know, an artist goes out on tour and there's only so many dates. So when they're routing it, they tend to pick the cities with the venues that, you know, either they've had great experiences at, that have larger capacities, or that they just enjoy going to, or have great reputations. We want Farmer Music Center to be top of that list. We want to be in the mix with the Chicagos and the New Yorks and the LAs. And, you know, if there's 14 dates on a tour, we want the only one in the Midwest to be us. So I think that will also, it's the whole, if you build it, they will come. This venue is being built not just for the fan experience, but for the artist experience. So a lot of thought has been put into dressing rooms and loading docks and things that, you know, a concert goer may not think about, but for an artist, it makes things so much nicer. It makes things easier for their crew, and that just all around makes it for a more pleasant day and makes them want to come back.
How long has this been in the making? Do you remember the first meeting you were in where someone said, hey, guess what? We're going to have Riverbend 2.0, which is what my favorite nickname for the project.
We might have to use it for a few more years.
And that's fine. Riverbend 2.0. We are not opposed to that. I would say those conversations were happening at a pay level way above me for the first however many months or years. I don't even really know how long it's been in the works, but I will tell you, I would say the past 3 years, it's been on the top of my project list and my priority list and my excitement list too, quite frankly.
Now, we were talking earlier that, and we're going to talk about the Rosemarie career here in a minute, but you have been through different employers affiliated with Riverbend almost the whole time you've been in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So is it a little bittersweet? It's not like the old, we should say, the OG ones not being torn down.
It is not. And no, and we are definitely, like, I think our theme this season too is celebrating the past and looking towards the future. There are so many great memories that people have of 42 years of Riverbend shows. I think it's like 2,500 different artists have played. Taylor Swift has graced our stage twice. Not too many people remember. She opened up for Brad Paisley. And then Rascal Flatts, I think it was like in 07 and 08. Don't quote me on that.
If we only knew then.
I know, right?
But I'm not in the country, so.
Even back then, though, after each show, she would stand out on the concourse and sign autographs. And
wow.
She was just starting to, like, take off then. But, of course, all the memories of Jimmy Buffett and, I mean, Elton John. The Grateful Dead played there.
I saw Kelly Clarkson. That was one of my first Riverbend
shows.
She's
awesome live. Yeah.
I was trying to think of my, I've been to so many, I can't remember my first Riverbend
show. You can't?
Show. Not really. I remember, like, you know, the ones that I, like, enjoyed the most, obviously, but I can't remember the first one for some reason.
I've seen Train a few times, of course. They're always around. I think I saw Pink, maybe. Does that sound familiar?
Not since I've been there.
Okay.
No, I don't think she's ever played Riverbend.
What am I talking
but
about?
But she's awesome.
I don't know. Who knows what you're talking about, Sydney?
Well, there's a lot of music venues in town.
Is it bittersweet for you to see it kind of like at the, again, it's not being torn down.
It is not being torn down.
We reported that it's still going to be in use for maybe music festivals
or other
uses. But obviously, it's not the star of the show anymore.
It is not.
Is that bittersweet for you? Or are you like, good riddance, you flood prone?
I appreciate Riverbend for all it's done for the past 23 years that I've been there. But I'm really excited for the Pharma Music Center. And I just, I'm excited for the new, the state of the art, the acoustics. It's just going to be bigger and better than anything we've seen. So I think, although I appreciate Riverbend, I ain't going to miss it.
I like that honesty. All right. Well, talk to us about your what originally brought you to Cincinnati, because we've been talking now for, 10 minutes? And some, you know, careful listeners might hear that you're from out east. Like,
I am. It's funny. When I first moved here, one of my husband's, my boyfriend's friends said, "You're not from the west side, are you? You're from the east side?" I said, "A little farther east." What brought me to Cincinnati?
From Boston.
I was living in Florida, working at the House of Blues in Orlando, Florida.
You are from Boston.
But I'm from Boston originally.
I know that because when the Red Sox come to town,
forget
about the Reds. It's all about the Red Sox.
I root for the Reds every other time except when they're playing the Red Sox, so... I mean,
you can't take the girl. You can take the girl out of Boston.
But you cannot take the Boston out of the girl. That is true.
Sure.
Yes, 1,000%. So yes, born and raised in Boston, went to school in Florida, and then got spoiled by the warm weather. So I stayed after I graduated college and worked for the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center. Then I went to the House of Blues in Orlando, and then the job became available at Riverbend because my now husband went to run U.S. Bank Arena and stole the marketing person from Riverbend Music Center. So then,
such a Cincinnati story.
I know,
that's
right?
That's not a bad thing.
That's okay. So then I took the job at Riverbend, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So I'll fill in some background here. Friend of the show, Jim Mooring, the mayor of the banks, the proprietor of the Holy Grail. I'm trying to get that mayor of the banks thing to stick.
Oh my God.
I think it is. It's starting. Yeah. Yes. So he goes to his job at US Bank.
Yes.
He takes the Riverbend marketing director.
Mm-hmm.
And that created the opening.
Yes.
So little did he know at the time that he was like aligning the stars for his future
wife. I guess I never really thought about that. Yeah.
No, you haven't thought about
that?
What?
No. That's crazy.
I know.
Rosemary,
that's funny.
That's like, but what if it was his master plan all along? I don't think I knew that to that level. Okay. So going from Florida to Cincinnati, to officially the Midwest, it must have been a hell of a job offer.
It was, but it was my intention to only be here for like 1 or 2 years. And then I wanted to go to New York or L.A. And
that's
you know,
what everybody says.
I know.
That's what Sydney said. You know, she was working in New York at the time we hired her. And I'm sure when you came here, you're like, yeah, I'll be here for a couple of years. And
yeah, but I wasn't going to go back immediately. I told you that. I'm committed.
No, it's a great.
So many people do that, though. They're
yes.
And then, you know, things happen.
It was definitely a culture shock for me, too, because none of like the banks didn't exist. When I moved here, they had just torn down, was it Synergy Field before? And was building
Riverfront Stadium,
ballpark. And I moved downtown to the corner of 8th and Main across from Arnold's, which became like I became the norm of Arnold's because I was there all the time because there wasn't a lot downtown either.
Right, yeah.
So I was questioning my life choices at first, but then I fell in love with the city. The people here are so nice. So it's been great.
And we need to, just for my keeping it straight, now work for MEMI.
Yes.
And that was born out of the symphony.
Yes.
So can you give us the MEMI 101,
So the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra has a very unique setup that I don't know if any other orchestra in the country does. There may be another one, but where MEMI, we do all the contemporary concerts. We run Riverbend. The money that we make.
And several other venues now.
And yes, an Andrew J. Brady Music Center, the Taft Theater, Rose Music Center at the Heights in Huber Heights. That model, basically the money that MEMI generates gets filtered all to the Cincinnati Symphony to fund their community programs and gives them the ability to do a lot of things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do. A lot of symphonies in the country operate in the red, which is unfortunate.
And rely completely on philanthropy rather than having like a revenue
source, correct. Mm-hmm. So I think what they have built here is really great. It's great for the city. It's great for the city of Cincinnati. It's good for the culture and the arts here as well.
When did they create this model?
I don't know the exact. I've been here 23 years and it was in existence before I got here. I couldn't tell you what year it actually started, but it's been for a while. And I don't even know whose brainchild it was that came up with that whole model either.
We'll find out and have them on the podcast.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There you go. That would be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. People always want to know the connection between the CSO and MEMI. So that would be helpful.
Yes. But we definitely, I mean, I think it's a good synergy between us two.
So what else do we need to know about the Farmer Center? We talked about, you know, it's a vertical structure. We reported on the fact that there's going to be like a club area.
There's going to be four clubs, and where it's going to be different too. Riverbend Music Center right now, we have the one First Star Logistics Club, and then we have the backstage patio, but you have to be a season ticket member to get access to them. At the Farmer Music Center, we're going to have four different clubs, and one of those clubs you can just buy on a show-by-show basis. So if you have tickets to an Ed Sheeran show and you just want to get into the club that night, there's going to be ways that you can do premium upgrades just for individual concerts as opposed to buying the whole season, which I think is pretty cool. Another cool thing that I think I'm looking forward to is it's going to be 8,000 reserved seats as opposed to Riverbend's 5,400 right now. We're finding the trend is that people for a lot more often than not want seats at a show. The lawn is still going to be a synthetic lawn, so we'll still continue our no mud policy, but it's going to be a 12,000 capacity lawn and 8,000 reserved seats. So I think that's going to make us stand out as well.
What part of it are you excited about from a marketing standpoint?
The shows. I can't wait till we can start announcing shows.
Are you working on that now?
We are.
So
yes.
So the venue is supposed to open up if everything stays on schedule in 2027.
Yes. Spring of 2027 is when we are targeting to open. And I mean, realistically, we would need to start announcing shows and putting them on sale, I would say November, December at the very latest this year.
Of this year.
Yes.
All right. So when you figure out who the opening act is for the Farmer Center.
You want the exclusive.
Yes. We want the exclusive.
Know.
We want to break the news, even if it's just by a second.
Okay.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, who are you looking for? Who are you looking at?
Oh.
Are you allowed to say?
No, I can't say anything, but there's so many big artists out there right now that like, you know, that hasn't played here that I think we could entice them to come here with this new venue.
I think it's a feather in an artist's cap to say they opened up a concert venue.
Oh, yes. We've already had several reach out to us that want to be the first.
And we're like, cool.
No, I can't, but
darn.
Do tell.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, the Foo Fighters opened up the outdoor.
Brady Music. Oh, the Icon Festival stage for Brady Music Center.
Yeah.
That show, that was one of the coolest shows. And that, just the city in the background and the river and everything.
So maybe they'll have to come back and do the Farmer Center.
The Farmer Music
just
Center.
Because, like,
yes. I mean, that would be good for the opening season.
I'm trying
season.
To get her to talk and accidentally slip out who she's talking to. Seriously, tell us what a marketing VP does. Do you have any, I mean, obviously you're part of the group that tries to bring in the acts, right?
Well, we have a booking team who books the acts. And then once
do you have any say?
They ask our opinion and we kind of try to do market research to see their popularity and if we think it would sell well in this region. I'd like to think that they listen to us all the time, but you know. But my job, in its simplest term, is just putting butts in seats.
Okay.
I have a great team of marketers who have all been interns for me at one point or another, and I've been very blessed that they get it. They are great at what they do. They know the market. They love music. And I think the one thing that makes marketing concerts so unique is that every show is different. You're marketing to, you have to target a different DMA. You have to, you know, where are people getting their concert information now, which changes. I mean, it's changed so much since the past 15 years. Social media obviously plays a big role in that. And, you know, you spend a lot of time too correcting inaccurate information or.
No. On social media?
I know. But no, I mean, it's a fun job and every day is different, which I love. And then the day of the show, you get to see the fruits of your labor, you know, all the people that come to the concert, and sold out shows are my favorite. And it's just, you feel good. You feel like you contributed to that.
Now, you also get to rub elbows with some of the talent.
I do. Not as often as you would think, but every now and then, yes.
And do you have any stories you can share about those experiences? Like, you know, people that were like incredibly cool and down to earth, and also the opposite, people that like, you're like, oh, I wish I didn't meet them in person because they're actually not very nice.
I know, you know, I don't want to name any names, but there's oftentimes that people are like, oh, you know, I wish I could do a meet and greet. And some, I was like, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes because they'll disappoint you. But I will say that's definitely the exception and not the norm. Every country act that has come through town, I think they're my favorite just because, like, you'll be walking backstage and they're just hanging out. They don't take themselves too seriously. They remember where they came from. They're friendly and kind to everybody. I will tell you one fun story. Well, not a fun story, but Aretha Franklin played the House of Blues in Orlando. And in the summer in Florida, it's about 80, 90 degrees on a cool day. And it was July, and we got the note saying that you had to turn off all the air conditioners in the building for 24 hours before she performed because of her voice.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So we turn off all the air conditioners. So, of course, now it's like a sauna in there. And it was a 2,000 capacity venue, all GA floor, and we had like a row of seats.
And they had to stay off for the concert?
So they had to stay off for the concert. And then the first thing she basically said, if she feels any cool air, she will walk off the stage. So the first thing she does when she comes on stage is says, "Ooh, it's so hot in here." And we're all like, okay. So, of course, everybody thought it was the venue. Guys. The other funny thing about her, though, is she would require to be paid in cash before the show. She would put the cash in a Louis Vuitton bag. And it would
literally, you pay her with a bag of cash.
With a bag of cash. And it would sit on the stage. Her security guard brought it out on the stage, and it sat. And when she was done, he came and took it off. And later I asked someone why that was. And it's because she got jilted so many times when she was younger and just starting out that she didn't get paid. She would perform, and then, you know, the promoter wouldn't pay her or whatever. So I thought that was one of my interesting behind-the-scenes stories.
Fascinating. Wow. I guess with a voice like that, you can get away with it.
Yes.
Think about the practicality of that today.
I know.
Right.
Like, how? I mean, it's virtually a cashless society we live in now.
With,
you know, digital payment and all that stuff. Like, if someone's, I'm just going to ballpark this, like, what, you know, maybe it was $200,000. I don't know.
I don't even know. But this was like 23 years ago, too.
Right. But like, yeah, like go to the bank and say, excuse me, I need $200,000 in cash for Miss Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you put it in this Louis Vuitton bag for me and be discreet?
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of the funnier ones.
So you're saying artists today don't do that?
No. They get their money wired to them. I think they can check their account right before they walk on stage and make sure everything's there in this digital world. But no, it's fun. You do come across those every now and then that are just kind of like, you're like, okay. But
You're over it now, aren't
yeah.
you? You're not starstruck anymore after 20 years?
I am not. No, there's not.
Who were you starstruck from, though, in early in your career when you're like, oh, my gosh, there's anyone?
I know. I would have
to. You Boston woman. Oh, you're just mm-hmm. like, you're not impressed with much.
You know what? It's so funny. I would be more impressed with meeting, like, one of the New England, like if Rob Gronkowski walked in, then gotcha. I would be like, oh my God.
Have you met Tom Brady?
I have not. I know.
See, I think it's because you don't work in sports. Yes. But you come from a sports culture. You love it. But yes. you work in music. So it's, you know, just know, another old thing.
It is. Yes. But I do appreciate it. And I do appreciate those that are not, like Dave Matthews was super cool. And, Blake Shelton's one of my favorites. He's a tall drink of water.
He's tall. Yeah. let's talk about the lineup for OG Riverbend this summer.
Yeah,
2026.
It's going to be a busy season.
It's big.
37 shows. We're not done announcing them yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We just confirmed one the other day. I thought we were done. I'm like, okay.
Interesting. So yes. there's just pockets in the schedule and you can fill them if someone yes. wants it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
But well, there's truly, not to sound cliche, something for everyone. If you can't find a show to go to at Riverbend this year, you just don't like music.
I would agree with that. Yes.
I will boldly say.
There's a lot of first time. I mean, I don't think the Strokes have ever played Riverbend before. I don't think Muse has. If it was, it was before my time. But Hillary Duff, we were talking about earlier, sold out at the on sale.
Hillary Duff is sold out. Who'd have thunk?
She sold out her world tour at the on sale, which, wow. Good for her, though.
This album is very good.
And she hasn't toured in a while, which I think, you know what, a lot of artists, in my opinion, my personal opinion, I think could stand to take a year or two off here and there, make people miss them. She hasn't toured, and I think it's been almost over 10 years, probably longer than that. But so I think people are excited to see her. Lots of country acts. Brooks and Dunn are coming back.
Jason Aldean.
Tim McGraw, even if you don't like country music, he's just such a fun show. He's one of my favorites.
You know, if you're an old guy like me that likes arena rock, there's not much of that going on.
No.
Today's country,
yeah,
they're really like rock concerts now.
Well,
you know,
like Eric Church, not playing Riverbend, but did, I think, last year or the year before. He's more of a rocker. Hardy was just there in May for Riverbend. He's definitely feeling his rock roots. So I think there's a nice synergy between country and rock.
And you've got some classic artists, like I think Paul Simon.
Paul Simon is playing PNC Pavilion. Yeah. I would think this might be his last tour.
I think so, yeah.
But then we have Lynyrd Skynyrd and Foreigner are touring together.
You know, that might have been, no, you know what? I saw them at the Coliseum, now the Heritage Bank Center. That was one of my first like big concerts was Foreigner.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
I still wish I could. It might, you know what? It might have been Neil Young was the first Riverbend show I saw.
What was your first concert though ever?
Ever? Like big concert?
Yeah.
Like Foreigner.
Sydney, what was
in
yours?
The 80s.
Backstreet Boys.
Really? Mine was Journey.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
With Steve Perry and Randy Jackson. And Glass Tiger opened up and I got drunk on Bartles and James wine coolers. That's the Worcester Centrum.
have you heard of Bartles and James, Sydney?
No, I'm sorry. I'm a lot older than you, Sydney.
I think it might have been Neil Young was the first Riverbend show, but there's been so many. Like, I remember one memorable one was Coldplay.
Oh,
because I kind of knew about them, liked a couple of the songs, but I realized within like 2 minutes of the show that they are a live act.
They're all about the live show. It was an immersive show, like between the beach balls or the yellow, everything that they
it
had.
It was the most fun I think I've had at a show.
They are on my wish list for the first season. I'm not, I can't, no, I'm just saying my personal wish
okay.
list. Like, no.
But we'll try to make it happen?
I mean, I have no control over that, but I would love to see them. They haven't played Cincinnati since then.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because okay. every time they went on our tour.
That's been a while, because that was like what I call my first tour duty at the Enquirer before I left and came back. So that's been a minute.
It's been a long
minute.
But,
you know, multiple times seeing Dave Matthews. The one that really I remember the most, because it was like kind of like emotional a little bit, was I saw Pearl Jam. And if you remember, Riverbend was like one of the first shows they played after they had their Who concert moment, when there was a few people that died in the crowd outside the venue.
Oh, that was before I got here.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was, I'm dating, I was probably still, no, it was early 90s. So I was just out of college and still kicking around here. But yeah, it was like, it like kind of the nation's eyes were on that show, because it was like, okay, how are they going to be? And they were very subdued.
Yeah.
Like, they were not encouraging crowd surfing and moshing and all the crap that we were doing in the 90s, which is coming back. My son, who he's like a Brady Center regular, because he saw Ken Carson there. And he sent me some videos, and mosh pits are back. They're like back.
They are, but they're a little more gentler than they were.
I hope so.
The surfing, the crowd, and I don't know. I feel like they're not as crazy. Like, we definitely don't encourage that behavior.
That's good. You shouldn't. Yeah, we need to sit down and
I did get standing, I guess, tickets for the Brady Center later this summer. So I'm hoping.
What are you seeing?
Bleachers.
Oh, that's going to be a great show. Yeah. That's probably going to sell out too.
I love them live. I don't think people will mosh pit, but hopefully people will lose their minds.
Okay.
I will.
Well,
for sure.
We'll get a full report.
Okay, great.
So do you have any other favorite memories of
Riverbend? Oh my gosh. I know. I should have probably thought about this before I got here. There's been so many. Maroon 5.
Oh yeah. I've seen Maroon 5.
So back when they were first like starting out, Matchbox 20, I have a personal connection to, because when I worked at the Performing Arts Center in Tampa, they're from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
They played at a club called Masquerades across from a bar that I worked at in Ybor City in Tampa. And then they played the Performing Arts Center, and then they played the House of Blues, and then they played the arena. And I feel like that was like my first band that I knew, like I knew when they were just starting out, and then made it all the way up. But I love them. They're a great live band. That's the other thing too. There's so many artists that you don't like, some sound better live, I think, than they do on their recordings. And it's live music too. It's nice, because when an artist is on tour, they always change things up too. They may not do the sing the song the same way as it was when it was released.
Or do a fun cover.
Yes. And that's I think those are the moments that are really cool. Three Doors Down.
Oh yeah.
Which unfortunately the lead singer passed away this year, but there was a concert. They were one of the jinxed bands for Riverbend. We had them 1 year, and then the show got canceled because somebody hit a transformer and all the electricity went out. And he was on his third song and everything went out, and the generators or nothing came back up. And then so he stood on the stage with his security guard and a flashlight and sang like a couple more songs acoustically. But then when they came, they replayed that show. We had to cancel it. They came back in October, and it was like 30 degrees and raining sideways. But like the tickets were like $5 in the pavilion, $10 in the pavilion, $5 on the lawn. And then the next time he came back, he broke his arm riding his bike backstage. So it's just like, okay.
Wow.
I didn't know
but
that.
They always put on a good show.
That's a good story. Why would you be riding your bike backstage?
Oh, you'd be surprised what artists do backstage just to occupy their time. It's like they're on the road. They live on a bus. So they, you know, they a lot of them set up basketball courts and hoops and weight rooms. Like Tim McGraw literally travels with an entire gym that he sets up at every stop.
Okay, good for him.
Well, I mean, he's got to keep up his workout routine, because
he's jacked.
You know what? It's funny. Like, there's a few country artists of his like era that started out just like skinny old country boys, And then they got jacked. And the one I keep thinking of is Kenny Chesney.
Oh, my God. Like, yes.
You know, who's not a tall guy. So he's almost, his shoulders and arms now are almost as big as he is tall. But I think I've seen him at River Bend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great show.
Yeah.
It's more than just a concert. It's like a whole, that's one of the shows like Buffett that people came and tailgated, and it was like a party.
So true confession for me, all the shows I've seen at River Bend, I never once saw Buffett here. I don't know how I did that.
I don't either.
Not to see him.
I know.
Because he played like four nights in a row, right?
In the very beginning, before I started, it was 5 nights, and every show was sold out. I think it was a total of 54 shows he performed at River Bend between 1980. Well, we opened in 84, between 1984 and 2025.
I think it was in 2000. I'm trying to go back to when the Enquirer launched its young reader publication called Sin Weekly.
Oh, I remember that.
That's, I think, how I met you, when we were doing Sin Weekly. And we decided we were going to do this like thing where we invite people to come and we'll take your picture, but you have to wear your Jimmy Buffett concert attire, you know, your parrot head attire. Because people would dress up with, you know.
Oh, that like, was yeah. a,
and
like,
so
yes.
We thought we might get like 10 or 15 people. We had like 100 people show up lining outside the Enquirer building in their Buffett regalia. And we took every one of their pictures.
Amazing. And they are passionate and they are proud.
They had signs. They had like hurricane glasses. Like they just came back from Key West. And I mean, it was an event.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I didn't go. I was just like so over it. I was like, oh, I can't stand being around. No, I'm kidding.
I know. He was.
Because I love Jimmy Buffett. It's a regret that I didn't see him in Cincinnati.
That you didn't go. I know. Yeah. He was another one, though, too, that was just like so unassuming and really nice and just always had a smile on his face. So yeah, he was one of the good ones.
Wow. Cool memories.
Well, is there anything about the Farmers Center we didn't ask that we need to know?
Well, you can follow the progress on all of our social media or on the website, farmermusiccenter.com.
You
will be the first to know when we're getting ready to announce our first show.
I'm writing that down.
Thank you. We appreciate that. I have to ask about parking, if that's cool.
Yes.
Because, you know, people are very passionate about driving out to River Bend and how to park, how to get out, how to Uber, take a Lyft. Will anything be different about that experience?
So thank you for bringing that up, because I would like to say, I know people get very frustrated with parking and traffic, and you have to take into consideration when you have 20,000 people leaving an event at the same time on a 2-lane highway.
For sure.
You're going to have to wait a little bit. And it is not our intention to make the experience as miserable as possible. So we are always, there are weekly meetings to talk about how we can improve on exiting and entering the venue, traffic patterns. The good thing about the Farmer Music Center is there is the parking on site at the venue. There's going to be a lot more parking spots right there. There are going to be more exit points from the concert. But again, we can't miraculously create another lane on Kellogg Avenue. So I'm not going to say you're ever going to be out of a sold-out concert in 15 minutes. But if we can get you out in under an hour, that's pretty good. And I think you would be hard-pressed to go to a Reds game or a Bengals game or anywhere where everyone is leaving at the same time that you're not sitting somewhere.
That's pretty much anywhere.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. So to answer your question, we were always trying to improve on things like that. And we hope that we master it with this new venue.
I think I asked this at the tour the other day on site, but an increase in the number of parking spots is definitely happening. We just don't know how many.
Yes, I do. There is, but I'm not aware of what that number is right now.
Gotcha.
Well, at the existing River Bend, if you have a boat,
many have done that.
You can just float behind there, and I mean, you don't have a good sight lines to the stage, obviously, but you can like
you can hear
the music.
Yes, a lot of people did that for Buffett. Unfortunately, you won't be able to do that with the Farmer Music Center
because
it's set off from the river a little bit more than River Bend. But
Oh, well.
I know.
Buy a ticket, right?
Exactly.
That's your job.
Yes.
Butts and seats.
Butts and seats.
I love it. That's going to be the headline for this.
Great. How to put butts in seats.
Morning. I put butts in seats.
People will be like, where? And then they'll click on our story.
There you go.
There
you go.
Something well, for everyone.
I hope you put a lot of butts in a lot of seats.
Well, thank you. We do too. And we hope everyone comes and enjoys the final season at Riverbend Music Center. And we look forward to seeing everyone next year at the Farmer Music Center.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. This was fun.
All right. Well, I'm excited to go to the Farmer Center.
Me too.
I hope she is remembers the promise she made that, you know, Enquirer Cincinnati.com readers will get the scoop on who the first act is for the debut of the center.
We will push this for you guys.
Yes,
I promise.
We will find out. You know, I was thinking like a wish list of who I'd like to see, like some big acts that would just be like worthy of it, you know. I know Taylor Swift doesn't do anything less than 50,000 seats anymore, so she's probably off limits.
Yep, has to be a stadium. I don't know. I like the idea of Coldplay. They are constantly touring, which we discussed. But I don't know. I don't go to that many outdoor shows, so I'm curious who an outdoor artist
maybe
really
like a
is.
Big country act, you know, like a
Ella Langley, maybe.
Maybe, or I'm thinking like, you know, like a Garth Brooks.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine?
I cannot.
You cannot, because that's not your genre. But we found out something about Sydney during the interview with Rosemary, that your first concert was the Backstreet Boys.
It was. I think it was maybe 8, 9 or 10.
Now, did you have posters in your bedroom? Were you that kind of Backstreet Boy fan?
No, but they were my first boy band. And I'll tell you what, that love evolved into an obsession with the Jonas Brothers. And now I had their posters all over my room, Burl, top to bottom. And I have seen them about 11 times in concert.
The Joe Bros. Who's your favorite Jonas Brother?
Joe. Come on now.
you say that like it's obvious. I don't know. Like, because people used to ask, like, who's your favorite Backstreet Boy?
Of course.
Or who's your favorite new kid on the block? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, we learned something about you.
Yep.
That you like boy bands. I think you're of that, you're generate, like, you're of that sweet spot. Like, that, they
of were, course.
I mean, they dominated the music world. When
I know.
You were coming of age.
Right. And I would literally go to the gas station to win tickets to a Jonas Brothers concert. And now I pay full money to go to Rupp Arena.
Right.
Or wherever they're going to be. Maybe one day they'll be at TQL. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, I love them. But I'm not as obsessed as I used to be, so don't worry.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, should we wrap this up?
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today, as always, or mostly, Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
And finally, if you value local journalism, and I know you do, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer just for you.
Thanks again, and see you next week.